This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0 Run in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979, broadcasting live from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo. Coming to you 1 hour early today because people are going absolutely bananas.
50 minutes
early. They're going to push me out of the studio at 8:59 because it's bid for bargains. I always remember people used to call it bids for bargains, but it's bid for bargains. Get it right, people. All right, so we start Sportsline. We're going to have Craig Anderson on from the IHSA. He's going to talk about girls flag football. That was the big announcement this week. He'll get into some football stuff with this ad hoc committee, and then what's kind of the status of eight-man football, and then Brian Roush is on with us today, too. We'll talk about that mainly with Brian's segment. Are any small schools going to pick up girls flag football? Now, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen in the fall of 2024, but we'll see. We'll see if maybe some teams or schools around here would do that. All right, where was I last night? Go ahead, ask me where I was at last night.
Where were you at last night?
I was in Chillicothe, Illinois, along the banks of the Illinois River. That is a long drive, but we drive that far to cover our local teams like Sherrard, Rockridge, and Mercer County. And boy, the Tigers last night got off to a nice start, led it, I think, 10-4 or 10-2 at one time, and then threw basically about maybe 50 seconds left in the first quarter, and Peoria Notre Dame finally took the lead. But a legit team, Peoria Notre Dame, it's one of the best small school girls teams that I've ever seen play, and they kind of flipped the switch late in the first quarter. We talked to their head coach, I know, Sportsline, a couple weeks ago, Lane Langhoff, and they have, to me it looks like they have five kids, probably can play at some level of D1 or D2, for sure D3. And I was telling Ty that three of the top players in their rotation are freshmen. So, and they're pretty good freshmen. Yeah. The Bradley coach, Brian Wardle, his two daughters are Irish players, Peoria Notre Dame, and I think it's the freshman, Maya, that is averaging 7 assists a game and like 14 points. But I told Coach Swanson on the post game last night, I was proud of the effort by Sherrard last night because I thought they played pretty good, really. But that's just the elite level of opposition they were playing last night. And Notre Dame kind of presses the whole game. And eventually they just, with the athletic ability they have, they just kind of wear you down. So I say I'm going Peoria Notre Dame against the field in 2A.
Yeah, I would think so. And you know, like you said, I think you got to be happy with the you know, effort that Sherrard put out there last time. And obviously, you know, they're so outmanned with just the talent that Notre Dame has. I think, like you said, the heavy, heavy favorite to win the state title this year. And I was, you know, I was kind of upset because I didn't get a chance to see them play. Like, so you say they were definitely like as advertised or even better. Yeah.
Yeah. They got off to a slow start. The one thing they fouled a lot early. So Sherrard was in the bonus both in the first and second quarter. And then they like to transition. The one thing that I think they could be susceptible to if they play another really good team is you know, transition off the rebound on a miss by the opposition. And I thought Sherrard did a good job kind of on the offensive glass early in the game last night, but just couldn't convert. And Chris Meskin's kid, Violet Meskin, had a great game against elite-level competition, 16, I think, last night. And the Tigers, you know, another, I think, 17-14 for them. Not the greatest overall seasons for them, but they'll, of course, be in the mix and probably be the favorite, I would think, in the Track West girls because they have virtually everybody
back
next
year. They return all five starters, I think, right? And then you look at, I mean, I think now this was, I think, Coach Swanson's 14th year, and he's won 11 regional titles. So, I mean, you know, and obviously this year, you know, you run into that team in the regional final. But, yeah, I think definitely, I mean, for me in the area, it's always – they're the favorite coming into the season until someone proves that they aren't. And I know Riverdale had a good year this year, but I think they're losing a couple of pretty key pieces. And congratulations to them, by the way. Coach Hatch won a regional title, and he's
Hall of Fame coach,
right?
Man.
So congrats to them. I know Alleman won a 2A regional.
Can Alleman and Riverdale, are they in the same sectional?
They would play in the sectional final, potentially.
Interesting storyline there. Yeah, they're good to see the Pioneers get a regional championship. I saw on their Facebook page, I loved it. So their girls win the regional title on their home floor, and they broke out and sang the school song in unison. I thought that was just great how they did that at the end of the game. So last night, I finished broadcasting, just so everyone knows. If you want to know what I ate after the game last night, I went back from Chillicothe. I went back to Peoria and ate.
Chillicothe is the pronunciation. Yeah.
I went to Avanti's in Peoria. And had a meal there. And then across the street from the Avanti's I was at, there was a Dairy Queen. So I had two cherry dilly bars on the way home on a crisp, cold night in Peoria and a lonely ride home last night. But a lot of great listeners from Sherrard following along last night. They had a good crowd down there. And one of the first texts I got last night, you know who it was from?
Heath Smith.
Andrew Weiler.
That would have been my second guess.
What do you think about that, Andrew Weiler? One of our loyal listeners. Also heard from Jansen Bender, a number of other listeners last night.
You know,
as well.
Jansen Bender, I saw him Tuesday at Manlius at Bureau Valley, and he was complaining. He likes to listen to, I don't know why he likes to do this, but he likes to listen to the game while he's actually there, even though there's
a huge delay.
Anyway, which we appreciate. Thanks for the great support, Jansen. He was mad because, one, there's no cell service at Bureau Valley High School because it's just in the middle of nowhere, you know. And then he said their school Wi-Fi was terrible and he couldn't load anything. So he was upset about that.
All right. Also, we'll get back to basketball here, but good luck to the great Jude Finch at Rock Ridge, who will wrestle for a state title at 132 pounds. I think I saw on the Rock Ridge social media he'll be the first weight class to go in the championship round tonight, 132.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what time that is, but Jude won a knockdown dragout semifinal match 4-2 over a youngster from Bisland. And then in the quarters, a 9-2 victory over a St. Joe Ogden opponent in his first round match. It was a fall. He beat a wrestler from Clifton Central. So let's see, 42-7, 43-7. 43-6, 44-6,
45-6,
taking on the wrestler from Woodstock, Marion, last name Williams. Let's see. I want to see what his. You see what his record was? 44-8 for Vance Williams coming into the state tournament. So come on,
he'd be 47-8 now.
Yeah. So Jude Finch, of course, tremendous. Defensive lineman at 132 pounds, probably the best defensive nose tackle we saw all year at 132 pounds. So good luck to Jude Finch. What a story he is.
Yeah, and he's only a junior, so a pretty cool chance for a state title tonight for him. And I think Ryan Lowe is still alive for Rock Ridge in the wrestlebacks. I think he's got to win one more match to earn a medal at least. And there are a couple other kids locally that I think are alive, both Orion's wrestlers, Maddox Anderson and Aiden Fisher, and then I think for Mercer County, Ethan Munson's the only kid still alive going into today.
So can I still say, though, repeat what I said last week, that and people will say, he can't say that. I'm going to say it again. My favorite wrestler is Ryan Lowe. Is it okay
me
to
too.
Say that?
Me too.
And people are saying, why are they saying that? Related to him. So, All right. You want to talk boys basketball? So,
yeah, sure.
So the wild card now going into next week is the Orion Chargers. Yeah. Is that right? They won by 22 last night over Monmouth Roseville. So Orion plays Knoxville Monday. The winner of that game will play the Mercer County Golden Eagles on Wednesday. And we always say if you make shots, yep, especially perimeter shots, it's a whole new ball game. What, they made nine threes last night?
They made nine threes last night against Monmouth Roseville. And like, they're a team that if they make nine threes, they're going to win. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. So, and their results are so weird this year because like, they have losses to United and Galva, who I've seen in person. And I was not too impressed with either of those teams. But when you look at Orion, though, you know, they have a win against Mercer County. They played Sherrard tough twice. They swept Monmouth Roseville. They're a wild card, man. You just never know what you're going to get when they walk onto the floor. And like you said, if they're making shots, you know, if they're making shots, they're a good team, I think. But if they're not, they struggle just because of the volume of perimeter shots they take. It sounds simple, you know, but if you like watch them play, and they have talent, I think. I mean, I think their top five or six kids are all pretty talented. So that's a tough game, I think, for Mercer County. But like we talked about last week, you know, all four semifinal games in the two regionals we'll be covering at Monmouth Roseville and Farmington, maybe outside of Rock Ridge's game, because I don't think they would have much trouble with either Monmouth Roseville or Alleman. Like, you know, I think Macomb and Farmington will be a competitive game. Sherrard Kewaunee definitely will be with, you know, two 20-win teams playing. And then Mercer County, likely Orion, I think will be very competitive too. And then you throw in the fact that they're playing over at Monmouth to kind of add to the kind of circus that that'll be. Yeah, it should be some fun games on Wednesday to open up the postseason.
And I know in the regular season series, Rock Ridge absolutely throttled Monmouth Roseville in the first meeting, but the second meeting was a close game, right?
Right, yeah.
And then I still think, though, you said Macomb-Farmington, but I think the Farmington-Canton game is a toss-up.
Yeah, right.
And then Farmington beat Macomb early in the season, right? Or who
correct, but the Doyle kid wasn't playing that night.
Yeah, so so you have a lot of that.
Went to overtime, I think.
And you never know what it, you know, the home court advantage means. And the other thing about Macomb, they're so good defensively, but they don't score a lot of right. points offensively, so it'll be interesting. And then, you know, I still think Kewaunee is the wild card. That's yeah. going to be a great game, I think. In the rematch. Sherrard beat him in the regular season, but then Kewaunee's the track East championship. Yep. They won the championship beating. Was that an overtime game with Princeton earlier this week?
Amazing crowd at that game. And then, you know, that's the thing. Like, we talked about Sherrard with, like, Coach Johnson Tuesday when we did their game at Bureau Valley. You know, they have this great regular season, Sherrard does. And you look at the regional they're in, you know, it's a five-team regional, so and three of the teams have won 20-plus. Sherrard with one of the top four seeds gets a bye. They also play a team who also gets a bye in Kewaunee. So Sherrard, you know, basically the entire postseason will play exclusively teams that have won 20 plus games for as long as they go on, you know. So, but yeah, that Sherrard Kewaunee game will be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be a very good game between two teams that I think are really good. And really, you know, I really think that the top five seeds in the subsectional, so Rock Ridge, Macomb, Sherrard, Mercer County, Kewaunee, I think all five of those teams are legitimate threats to win a regional championship. I do. I think Mercer County definitely can give Rock Ridge a game.
Can I
without a doubt?
Okay. At 8:23, can I whine about something a little bit here or not?
Sure.
You'll probably agree with me.
Yeah, I probably will. Go ahead.
How in the world do Farmington and Monmouth Roseville get the regional?
Well, I don't have a problem with Farmington. What's your problem with Farmington getting it?
Well, I guess I don't, but I'm just saying My frustration is there used to be a time back in my day where kind of the rotation was always Orion, Sherrard, Rock Ridge, right. always got a regional, and even Mercer County kind of in the mix. And I just look at those subsectionals that are supposed to be two regional sites. I just can't fathom why one of the sites isn't up in this direction. In the Rock Ridge,
right.
Mercer County, Sherrard, Orion territory.
Well, and I just think...
Now I'll preface that. You have to apply to host a regional. Now, right. if these schools are not doing it well, then they don't want to host it. Well, but I'm like, if they did and they didn't get it, I'm mad about that.
My issue, is I just don't think that Monmouth Roseville High School is a big enough gym for a boys basketball regional. I mean, you look at Wednesday, there's going to be four teams there. Likely, it will be, well, Rock Ridge and Mercer County definitely will be there, and then I would say most likely Orion and Monmouth Roseville will be too. I mean, those are four local schools that will bring probably pretty big crowds, and then you look at what the potential championship game will be Friday as two of those schools will be playing, and, you know, I mean, if... I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it, because we saw last year.
I'm going to have to park at Sean Temple's house.
We thought it was strange that Orion got the sectional, you know, and you could just tell the first night over there that if the title game was Rock Ridge Princeton, which it ended up being, there was a 0% chance that was big enough for that game. So they moved it, but I didn't really like that they moved it, because you're setting the precedent. Well, now we're just going to do this all the time.
And I was against the move. Now, I'm glad they played at Geneseo eventually, because it was an awesome atmosphere. Yeah. But if you're going to put these schools as host, that they host it.
If you're host, you're the host. And if you're going to move it, then they shouldn't be the host as it is, right?
Yeah, so. And I was talking. I remember when the regional sites came out, we were at the Great Western Shootout in A-Town. And Jake Sotos had just completed his post game with the Monmouth radio station, and he was walking by, and I said, "Man, you guys got the regional? Holy smokes!" And he said, "Yeah, they'll probably play some of the games at the college." Yeah. Well, not happening.
No, right.
Yeah, it's going to be at Monmouth. They should play it at Roseville. That's where they should play it, at home of the RIT. But I mean, it is what it is. And the boys' regional play starts Monday with the play-in games, and those play-in games are always played at the higher seed, so Orion will play a home game Monday as they host Knoxville. They win that, then they play Wednesday at Monmouth Roseville against the Mercer County Golden Eagles, which is the 7:30 game. And then Rock Ridge will play at 6:00 Wednesday against the Monmouth Roseville Allman winner, and Sherrard and Kewanee are the 7:30 game Wednesday night at Farmington. So have we decided what games are going to be on the airwaves and what's?
I think Wednesday. I think the two games from Monmouth will be on the FM, and then the Sherrard game will be online with Kewanee, I believe is how we're going to do it.
All right. Speaking of Farmington too, for kids that played in the Olympic Conference back in the late 90s and early 2000s, one of their really good players, Rhett Wurzba, is one of the top assistants for the Indiana University Hoosiers women's basketball team. So he'll get a crack at Caitlin Clark. I think they play Thursday in Bloomington. I was talking about that yesterday with a Sherrard fan in Chillicothe, Illinois. All right, anything else before we...
We got to get to our interviews, or they're going to fire both of us because we got bid for bargains at 9.
Is it bids for bargains or bid for bargains?
Before we go, though, Caitlin Clark, you mentioned her. How cool is... Did you see the 49 points and the record-breaking performance for her this week? Did you see that?
Yeah, just the great attention.
Yeah, amazing.
Yep, and that story...
And the crowds that they get. I think I saw it was $400 were the cheapest tickets for that game for the record breaker. So,
all awesome. Right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll hear from Craig Anderson talk about flag football. I want to see some local schools get girls' flag football teams. I'm hoping for that. All right, that's Ty Taylor. I'm Jim Taylor. Again, Bid for Bargains coming up at 9 o'clock.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth.
And now, Hey Dude shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Speaking with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson, some exciting news earlier this week. The headline, Girls Flag Football to debut as IHSA sport in fall of 2024. Did I see that right? The IHSA made the announcement at Hallis Hall. How exciting was that, Craig Anderson?
Well, it was incredibly exciting. I was shocked to see the media in attendance. And just a number of people in Hallis Hall to celebrate that. It was really a tremendous opportunity. I'm a lifelong Bears fan and never been to Hallis Hall myself. So it was just really awesome to see the three of the McCaskey family be in attendance, as well as the president, Kevin Warren, of the Bears, to be there and speak. So it was really a neat experience, and we were able to bring some student athletes and some coaches to be a part of it. So it was an exciting event and fun to be in Hallis Hall for sure.
So in addition to that, what has been kind of their involvement in this? I'm speaking of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so they've been tremendous supporters, both organizationally as this got underway just a few years ago, as well as being financial supporters of equipment, such as the flags, uniforms, even headgear for the athletes. So as this thing, and you know, yesterday at the press conference, they determined that won't go away. They have intentions to continue to support the development of girls flag football across the state and expanding it now. And we anticipate that to happen as we have adopted it as a state series beyond just the Chicago and Chicago suburban area. So that's great news for our schools as they kind of determine, you know, their adoption of girls flag football at their schools and then, you know, using the Bears as a resource for that. So, it's an NFL initiative that's supported also. So it just, you know, kind of from the NFL to the Bears and then down to our high schools, there will be continued support.
And in terms of just how did we get to this point in bringing on a state series in girls flag football?
Yeah. So as I kind of shared in the press conference, the quick development of this is really unprecedented in my time, and I think in our history. It started 3 years ago in the Chicago Public Schools with the support of the Bears. They started with 21 teams, 21 schools that adopted and decided to have girls flag football teams. That was year one. Year two, that doubled. And then started to include a few suburban schools. So there are roughly 45 schools. And then this past fall, the number of schools participating jumped to over 100. So the growth has been incredible. You know, they've done and conducted their own kind of championship, actually at Hallis Hall the last couple of years. And so because the number of schools participating exceeded 10% of our membership at about, you know, that's about 80 schools. That's the policy language that would dictate that our board could consider adopting girls flag football as a sport. And so that's how it's developed. And it got to be where this week, you know, we were able to announce that we are going to conduct a state championship, state series in the fall of 2024.
Yeah, and I think Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th, will be the state championship weekend. So this is kind of a girls flag football 101 session here. So the rules are what? I think we're talking off the air, 7-on-7, right? Can you kind of go over the field dimensions and kind of what the season calendar is going to look like?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, our membership adopted some game limits and a season limit. And what they agreed to was the season will start the same time that all of our other fall sports, kind of that second week, second Monday in August. And then the season could run and schools could continue to compete all the way through the traditional football, tackle football season. That's what the season limitation that the membership adopted. We anticipate, you know, a lot of the play will be while the weather is better, leading up to our state series, which will begin in early October, culminating, as you just mentioned. So in terms of play, it as you mentioned, 7-on-7, you know, the girls wear flag. The length of the field is the same as a traditional football field, and the width is reduced. I don't know the exact dimensions, but there is a reduction in the width of the field that they play on. It's roughly games take about an hour. So they do kind of a 20-minute running clock for a half, and then, you know, obviously take a 10-minute halftime, and then would resume play. And because of the nature of flag, much different than tackle, it allows schools to play, you know, a couple times a week, even a couple times a day. And so the membership agreed to, you know, where the regular season for tackle football is 9 games, girls flag football's season limit is going to be 25 regular season contests. So it'll give them an opportunity to play in a number of different formats. I anticipate some kind of Saturday jamborees, as it has been the last couple years and as it's developed. But I think there will also be potentially some coordination of flag football play, maybe as a prelim game to a varsity tackle football game, just in celebration of, you know, schools having girls flag football. So that's kind of the rundown of, you know, kind of what it looks like. The ball that they use is more of a youth size football as opposed to the regular size football. So there is a smaller football that's used. And the girls wear kind of a soft headgear, no face mask, just for protection as they're, you know, in play.
So 100 schools, I think, about right now entered for the fall of 2024 series. Does that mean, I'm assuming, just one class then right now?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we're going to start it out with a single class and just run, obviously, a single state series culminating with a singular champion. Depending upon the growth, we do have policy language for a team sport like this. The one that reaches a certain number of schools, you know, we'll look at expanding into multiple classes as the number of schools participating increases and it warrants a division in classification. But it will start just a single class sport.
All right. So of the 100, one of the questions I've received is, you know, I know this is a thing that's taken off in the Chicagoland area. So are you getting some interest from downstate schools initially with the 100 schools? And you know, how many do you get? Some small schools, I'd say, you know, maybe some schools less than 500?
Yeah, I think we are. In fact, I was just talking to Tracy Henry, our administrator of Girls Flag Football, this morning, and she's getting a lot of requests from schools just wanting to see the list. So we're going to post it on the public side of our webpage. Folks can go to the Girls Flag Football page and see and just a drop down of those. And it was just done in a survey to our schools. So we think that it'll be more than 100 as we get into the fall. But they're looking to see, you know, what schools have indicated they're going to have a team in terms of just proximity of if they adopt a team, how far would they have to travel to find some opponents. But we are finding interest. You know, recently, we communicated with Monticello, that they're maybe not in 24, but they're planning definitely in 2025 to have a team. So I think it'll, you know, we may not see too many small schools in the first year, but I think within a year or two, we're going to see expanded downstate schools adopt it. Because it is a unique niche, I think, for girls. It's an opportunity in the fall to potentially, and this is what we've heard from schools that have adopted already, that they're generally finding students that don't otherwise participate in a fall sport. And that's encouraging that we're getting new students to engage in activities like this, you know, girls flag football, and to have some organization, camaraderie, all the benefits of participating on a team.
Speaking with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson, I want to get a couple of other topics here before we let you leave us. Anything else you need to mention about flag football that I didn't bring up?
You know, I just, you know, it's so exciting to see this come to fruition. And, you know, yesterday or this week when we did it at Hollis Hall, it was really exciting. But, you know, I hope that, you know, our smaller schools will consider and take a look at it and find out. And I've heard from a couple of schools that have run some surveys, you know, maybe not expecting that they would have much interest in girls flag football, but to come to find out, you know, the girls responded that there is some interest. And so, you know, as we adopt it and see schools adopt it, I hope that folks will go out and watch the girls enjoy this opportunity.
All right. I saw also, so the February IHSA board meeting is where they announced the state series for girls flag football. Also, that meeting was announced there was going to be the formation of an ad hoc football committee, because that has been, you know, basically that sport has always been subject to a lot of conversations with scheduling, with playoffs, with the public-private debate. So when you talk about ad hoc football committee, can you kind of compare and contrast of, you know, how that is how that could be different or a little bit the same or overlap with kind of the football advisory committee, or two totally different things?
Yeah. So we do anticipate there'll be different groups of people. The football advisory committee generally is made up of football coaches with one administrator, one official. This ad hoc committee will more likely be more to the, while there will be some coaches on that committee, it'll be more administrators, I think, than coaches. And as you and I have talked over the years, it seems like every year over the last decade, we annually get a bylaw amendment proposal to modify the football playoff schedule, you know, increasing the number of teams to make the playoffs, or most recently, you know, the move to districts in football. And, you know, this past fall, it made it to the ballot to be considered by the membership, but didn't pass by the membership. So our board, just in kind of over the years, and especially with this most recent district proposal, making it to the ballot, not being passed, just determined, you know what, we need to get some folks together from our membership to really kind of talk through a variety of the proposals that have been submitted year over year, both playoff structure and district proposals, to see if there's some common ground that we could maybe bring forward to, again, have the membership consider, but with a group of folks who have maybe made some of these proposals in the past, and maybe, again, trying to just get some people together to talk about the playoff structure, the districts, the issues with football that have created, you know, year over year, some different proposals to modify, change how we conduct football. And so that kind of is what the board kind of developed and wanted to get, again, a group of people together that could really focus on those couple things. And so I think it'll be great conversation that we have a target date for that group to meet a number of times in advance of next October, which in October is the deadline for any new bylaw amendment proposals to be considered for next school year. So this committee will be developed quickly. They'll be meeting yet this spring, and we'll see what they come up with. We just want you know, some like-minded people that have been involved and see concerns with either the playoffs or the district proposals on either side of it, and just really to hash it out.
So the end game then is to bring something for the membership to consider?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, or to determine, you know, through discussions, you know, our situation as it exists is really where we need to be. So, you know, but the timeline is set that if there would be a proposal, something they would agree upon that, you know, could be modified, that there would be a timeline at which it could be presented next school year through the bylaw amendment proposal process.
All right. And the only final thing I have for you in regards to football, the eight-man game, so we've talked about this girls' flag football becoming a state series, and there's, you know, at least 100 schools that are going to participate in that, which is three times as many right now probably as eight-man teams. So there's not going to be an IHSA state tournament series in eight-man football in the fall of 2024. So, but you know, because when I talk to these eight-man coaches, that's always the big question is, when is the IHSA going to assume oversight? Are we getting closer to that, or where do you think that discussion is right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, a few different times during the year, we have coaches and administrators from eight, but we offer our facility up here in Bloomington to have them come in and, you know, they meet. Sam Knox, our football administrator, meets with them. And, you know, we're really, while we're, you know, looking at the numbers of schools that have eight-man football teams, and that continues to grow, though I don't know that it's grown as much over the last couple years, but there is continued growth there. I think we continue to monitor the growth, and we continue to, you know, determine, you know, the interest in those that have eight-man football teams. And there's a, just because of the number of years they've done it, they've grown to be comfortable, I would say, with how, you know, they schedule their regular season, how they establish their playoff state series and conduct all of the games leading into their championships. And so we're going to lean on kind of where the coaches and the administrators of the schools that have eight-man football, how and when they want us to be involved. It was a couple years ago where there was a proposal. At that time, the board didn't think there were enough schools that warranted our adoption of eight-man. Our boards evolve, of course. We have new and board members come and go. And so, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if over the next couple of years we maybe hear from that group that says, you know, we've grown to this number. Could you consider again potential adoption? And we will, you know. But I think just working collaboratively with those administrators and schools at you know, the smaller schools that have eight-man football is what we want to do, and we want to navigate this with them. When they feel like it's appropriate to bring forward a recommendation for us to adopt.
All right. Always great to visit with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. We covered a lot today, and, sir, we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jim, for having me.
Again, Craig Anderson with the IHSA joining us on WRMJ.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning? Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance? Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your country financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And the postseason going strong in high school athletics and the winter sports. You've got wrestling finishing up this weekend on the individual level at the State Farm Center. You've got girls basketball headed towards the sectionals. And you will have the boys headed to regional action on Monday. And, Jim, there's a brand-new sport recognized by the IHSA, and this sounds very exciting.
Girls Flag Football State Series. They're adding that as a sport effective with the fall of 2024, and there are 100 schools that have expressed interest. And right now it's just one classification for Girls Flag Football. And so how it's set up, and I learned about this week, you know, the IHSA had the announcement at Hallis Hall this week. So the Bears are a big promoter of this endeavor. But it's a 7-on-7 format, and I didn't realize, so the field is 100 yards still, but the width of the field is narrower, probably like eight-man football. Season limitation, I think max 25 regular season games, and the season calendar kind of coincides with the, you know, basically tradition high school football calendar that starts in mid-August and runs through November. So my question is, how many downstate small schools are interested, and can girls flag football become a thing at the small school level? What do you think? Now, you have one example, right, in your area that's kind of been playing some girls flag football?
Yes, I believe it's just Eastland, but it might be Eastland Pearl City. I'm not 100% sure. But I know they had a team last fall, and I know that they had like a senior night, and I contemplated going. And I've heard good things about their team, so I would think that's one of the programs around here that's just chomping at the bit to get into the IHSA portion of things as a recognized sport and watch that sport grow.
And right now, when we talk about fall sports kind of at the small school level that are offered, you have girls golf, of course, you have cross country on the girls' side, and you have volleyball on the girls' side, which is a big sport. So, with all that being said, can small schools really consider adding another sport like that?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, enrollment will be a kind of a key, because some of those smaller schools will have a little difficulty, and will it impact volleyball? You and I were kind of talking off the air. Maybe some of those girls that don't see a lot of court time and don't play in the summer and don't necessarily, you know, plan to pursue it in college will go to something like flag football, especially because it's new. And I think any time you have something new like that, you have a chance to really step in on the ground level.
And I think the other issue, though, that is probably in play a little bit here is facility as well. If you have boys football and girls flag football taking place at the same time, and I didn't realize, you know, again, 100-yard field for girls flag football, facilities, you know, access to that is probably going to be an issue. But I think Craig Anderson mentioned that one of the things they would like to see is maybe some girls flag football games played prior to, you know, the traditional high school football Friday nights where you would have a doubleheader. So I think that's another issue that might be in play.
Yeah, and I think what, you know, Craig Anderson said was, when you mentioned this to me in prepping for the interview, the first thing I said, is there any way you could play, like, you know, prior to the, you know, boys contest on Friday night, especially now with a lot of places, or most places around here anyway, playing just a varsity only, you would have a window between, say, 5:30 and 7 to do that. And I think that would give a great boost to that sport. And also, I give you a little more, you know, value for your dollar as well.
The first state series, or state finals, I should say, in girls flag football will be Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th. And they're still determining where the state championship venue will be at. But I guess as we go along here, I'd really like to hear, you know, from people to see if some small schools are interested in taking this on. And I think the big issue is going to be competing with volleyball in a lot of these small schools. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But you can read more information about this Girls Flag Football State Series. You can find that at IHSA.org. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes Hey Dudes. On sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, winding down the WRMJ Sports Line, segueing into Bid for Bargains. I was thinking about, as we wrap up, our good friend Bill Breeden, as Jude Finch is the top sports headline locally today, wrestling for a state title. And I always remember Coach Breeden, he'd always use the phrase, tough hombre. And I forgot to ask him about that during football because I wanted to tell him, man, you need to see Jude Finch play football, 132-pound, nose tackle, tough hombre. So good luck
to Jude
Finch.
Yeah, I love the way that he plays on the football field. And again, we mentioned it in the open this morning, just a junior, and he's going for a state title at 132 pounds today. So good luck to him. And we have boys basketball postseason coverage starting this week. It's the most fun time of the year, I think. I'm excited.
I agree, and they should. We got our local teams are really good.
Yep, all three of them.
And there's going to be some good games. And hopefully next week when we're talking, we have some local teams headed to the sectional, and that'll be more enjoyable. Down in Canton,
right,
in Fulton County.
We're going to Canton. So.
All right, we got to get out of here. John Hoshite's in the studio because he's getting ready for a Bid for Bargains.
Let's open his mic for a cameo on Sportsline. John, you ready for the boys' basketball postseason?
I am ready for the boys' basketball postseason, and you're going to Canton, home of Bob Stockham.
That's right.
That's right. Home of the Little Giants.
All right, I don't think we have anything else to say, really, right? We'll have three games Wednesday, Rock Ridge against either Monmouth Roseville, Ullman, and Mercer County against either Orion or Knoxville. Those games are at Monmouth. Those games will be on 102.3 FM on the website and then on the app as well. And then Sherrard plays Kewaunee on Wednesday night. That game will be available online exclusively at WRMJ.com from Farmington. All right.
So let's get into Bid for Bargains so we don't get in trouble on Sportsline for going over.
Thanks a lot for tuning in on Saturday morning. We're back at the regular time next week from 9 to 10. All right, that will wrap up Sportsline this morning. Thanks for listening. Bid for Bargains is next on WRMJ.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ.
Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.